Welcome to Canada, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
So Mr. Gay Canada 2019, Rosh Rimmer, was engaged to his fiancée Heath.
Is that his birth name?
Rosh Rimmer? It might be. It's I-R-I-M-E-R.
Okay, we'll go
I feel like we're going to say Rimmer because Rimmer has a different context.
Because that would be a really good stage name.
That would be. Maybe that's why he's Mr. Gay Canada.
Yeah.
Anyway, Josh Rimmer
is
engaged to his fiancée Heath, and they are very excited to be going and having a wedding in what apparently is the popular LGBT destination of Puerto Vallarta in Mexico.
Puerto Vallarta.
Yes.
Two L's is a Y in Spanish.
Fine. Puerto Vallarta in Mexico.
Yeah.
So that's where they're going. They are very, very excited about it. Apparently it took them a bajillion years to find, to pick a time, pick a date, pick a location. Actually, me and Jake are our fiancés.
Yeah.
That was the happy news from a couple of months ago. And all we've managed to do so far is pick a rough time of year, which I feel like is a very good start. The thing is with my Jake is that he's very easily overwhelmed. So we have to, small decisions spread over time is really
well,
the
my,
best
my
way.
Favorite, so far I've been to one wedding because all my gay friends have sort of eloped for various reasons.
Oh. Well, you went to Heather's wedding, didn't you?
I did, actually, yes, I did go to Heather's wedding as well, yeah. But when I lived in Toronto, I had these friends, John and Kyle, who they decided to get married and they decided to wait 3.5 years because neither of them liked being the center of attention. So they were waiting for the next leap day so that their wedding anniversary would only happen once every 4 years and it wouldn't be a bother. But they were willing to wait 3.5 years because it was like 2 weeks before the upcoming leap day when they decided, oh, maybe we should just get married on leap day, and there wasn't enough time. So it was a thing. It's a, yeah, no, I mean, my advice has always been this whole time, just elope. And you've been kind of on the fence about that. And Jake is on board.
Well, yeah, Jake is the less people involved. You know, if he could do it on his own without me even there, I'm sure he would relish the opportunity. If there was an online game on the PS4 which just married people, then that's probably how we would end up tying the knot.
But he'd play all the mini games first.
He would play, yeah, to level up the equipment and try again. No, it's we're looking at September-ish, maybe 2021, and sort of give us enough time and, you know, none of the pressure. And the weather's so lovely in September, don't you think? It's just, September's nice. It's not as hot as in the summer. It's sort of cooling a little bit, but it's not
that
quite
weird
fall yet.
Heat wave where it's like September 26th, but for some reason it's 32 degrees outside.
Flowers look nice. I like flowers.
That's a global climate change problem.
Yeah,
right there.
That's true. Yeah. Well, God knows, the climate change is growing. Maybe we should be having our nice summery wedding in December at this rate. Mm. Now, Rimmer was going to get married in Puerto Vallarta.
Oh,
they
right, yes.
Made some decisions. They're going to go. And then the manager at the Sheraton there essentially said that we don't specialize in same-sex weddings.
Okay.
They don't have the expertise in those weddings.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know what is substantively different with a same-sex wedding versus, I mean, other than the fact that there's two grooms.
Yeah.
But, you know, like the choreography isn't different. The number of chairs isn't different.
Maybe they're worried they don't have enough ABBA on vinyl.
Actually, that is a legitimate concern. That is a legitimate concern.
Oopsies.
Their share records have broken, so they are no longer equipped for a gay wedding. No, it was ridiculous. So they were very upset. They Instagrammed and Facebooked about it. And being Mr. Gay Canada, it got a lot of attention.
Yeah,
it's been
in
CTV. I think it was in the global news. It was all over the place. But good news, another hotel around the corner apparently doesn't specialize in gay weddings, but to them a wedding's a wedding.
It's money.
So they've actually offered to comp the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah, which is great.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, honestly, the PR and the...
Yeah,
the,
no, that's... You know, that's...
They're making the money off of all of the gay Canadians going, oh, I like the sound of that hotel.
Yeah, that's a future 50 weddings just waiting to happen.
There was a local photographer.
Very clever, though. Very, very good move.
But it's not just them. A local photographer signed up and said, a wedding photographer is like, I'll do it for free. And, you know, a whole bunch of people have really chimed in and said, you know what, we'll make your wedding dreams come true. So these guys are now got the pick of the
In exchange for a free wedding, I really hope they donate at least a portion of what they would have spent on a wedding to some charity or another.
Mm-hmm.
We should send them an email.
Well, the Marriott spokesperson for the Global Communications Public Affairs Office have issued a statement. I feel like we should read it at least in part. Mm-hmm. The Sheraton is a part of the Marriott family. So, we are troubled and greatly concerned by the experience reported by Mr. Reimer. Marriott has long been committed to providing an environment where all are welcome, including our LGBTQ guests and their loved ones. We have contacted Mr. Reimer and expressed our sincerest apologies for his experience. In addition, we are looking further into the matter to understand what happened and do what we can to prevent hurtful experiences like this from happening again. I mean, you can get married. Same-sex marriage is legal in Mexico, I believe. Mm-hmm. Or if not, at least partnerships. So it's not like this is a country where this isn't expected. It's also the Marriott hotels.
It's also Puerto Vallarta.
I know. Vallarta. It's like, yeah. You know, this shouldn't be a shock.
It's like so, 60% tourists.
Is this bad news for the Marriott?
I think it's bad news for that Marriott. I mean, it's a multinational chain. It's huge. It's one of the biggest businesses in the world. They have survived multiple major economic downturns. They're going to be fine. In the long run, they're going to be fine. People are going to forget about this news story within a year. But that Marriott, when people look it up, if they're looking to do a destination wedding, this story is going to come up. So it is that particular one will have a tough time of it for the next couple of years. And the phrasing of that, I kind of like that they didn't just throw that branch under the bus. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe there's a systemic problem we need to look into, not just, you know, blame it on the manager there. Because for all we know, the manager didn't know about this until it hit the news. You hear stories about that sort of thing all the time. Like, you know, the person running front desk who's answering the phones picked up and was like, oh, no, no, no. And then later on, their boss's boss finds out that they did that. And they're like, you said what? And yeah. Looking into it, I think, is the proper phrasing and not just saying, you know, that we fired that guy. Because maybe it wasn't his fault or her fault, you know, the manager. Maybe they've been doing 20 years of good service and you don't want to throw them under the bus for one mistake. Unlike most of the world these days. There's been a lot of that going on over the past couple of years.
Yeah, that sort of cancel culture is...
Yeah. There are a few instances where people get canceled and it's like, they made one mistake, and then somebody leans over. They're like, actually, this is like 15 years of problems. It's like, okay. Then, yeah. Straw that broke the camel's back. That's a completely different story from one mistake, ergo 30 years of experience down the drain. Like,
So, speaking of weddings, the wedding registry site Zola.
Zola.
Okay. Got into the news as well this week.
I've never heard of it.
Well, how many wedding registry sites are you often coming across?
I mean, why you gotta put me on the spot like that, man?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you're like, I've never heard of this wedding registry site. I'm like, were you looking for a wedding registry? Like,
well, you don't know.
I feel like my wedding registry might be an Amazon wish list, you know? Zola, the wedding registry site, created six different ads promoting different weddings. Four of them were gay
on their
weddings.
Own site, or like promoting Zora on other
sites, oh, okay. Specifically on the Hallmark channel.
Okay.
Now Hallmark has all of the kind of soppy, heartwarming movies. You may recall a couple of weeks ago, over the last week or two, maybe everyone was like, you know, Hallmark, you should make like a cheesy movie, which is really their bread and butter. Like their movies have the same plot depth as their birthday cards.
I don't know if I can name a single movie they made. I'm going to look this up. Keep talking.
Generic, rom-com, inoffensive. That's sort of what they're easy watching, they're easy viewing, they're heartwarming, they're like, oh, movies, without having to concentrate too hard. Much like their birthday cards. Now, Hallmark was like, yeah, you know what? We're open to a conversation about having one of our cheesy, heartwarming movies, but where the main characters falling in love are gay. Like, that's... We already have 50,000 other movies where all of them are all straight. So maybe we can do a gay one. This isn't a bad idea.
Is that Ryan Reynolds? Was Ryan Reynolds in a movie?
Probably before, you know. Got to pay your bills.
The Dater's Handbook.
Yeah.
These all look like garbage. Just from the cover.
This week's show brought to you by Hallmark. No, so if you remember, Hallmark said, we're open to a conversation around a gay movie. And everyone's like, oh, that'd be kind of romantic.
This guy's hunky.
So then there was a fake petition started to stop Hallmark from making a gay movie that received hundreds of thousands of signatures. Even though Hallmark hadn't committed to making any kind of movie.
Right, yeah.
Even though all they said was like, yeah, let's have a conversation about it. Suddenly, people are losing their minds over even the potential of a soppy, cheesy movie having a same-sex partnership.
I'm pretty sure you could guess what my comment about all of this is.
Well, we haven't finished yet.
Okay. But so you could still probably guess, because we've had this conversation before.
So next up, this wedding registry site makes 6 ads, and they want to put it on the Hallmark channel full of all of these heartwarming movies. And 4 out of 6 of the ads feature a lesbian couple at various points or in various types of weddings.
Okay.
And the other 2 are straight. Hallmark gets a bit of flack from our favorite advocacy groups, A Million Moms, which to date does not count... A million people.
No.
They're really rounding up. Mm-hmm. But they wrote a comment or a letter to
Hallmark. I think it's aspirational.
It's aspirational. Yeah. They feel in their bones like they're a million people.
Yeah, yeah.
So they said, please reconsider airing commercials with same-sex couples and please do not add LGBT movies to the Hallmark channel. Such content goes against Christian and conservative values that are important to your primary audience. You will lose viewers if you cave to the LGBT agenda.
Mm.
The Hallmark Channel has always been known for its family-friendly movies. Even its commercials are usually safe for family viewing.
Usually safe.
But unfortunately, that is not the case anymore. Recently, 1 million mums received concerns about Hallmark airing a commercial from Zola.com in which 2 lesbians are shown kissing.
Da, da, da.
At the end of their wedding ceremony, how very dare they have the audacity to kiss at the end of a wedding?
Mm.
Just the outrage. Now, gay marriage is legal in the United States and has been for a few years now, which should be a grand surprise to nobody in the United States. So Zola, trying to cash in on all of these weddings, runs an ad. Hallmark, seeing this sternly worded letter from the million mums, which aren't a million, polled all of the lesbian ads. Now, Zola has looked at this and gone, no thank you.
Yeah.
We're going to go run our advertising with channels and platforms that have spines. So they took... I'm paraphrasing. I don't think they said that.
Right.
But what they did do is pull all of their ad campaign from Hallmark entirely. So that's where we're at now. Hallmark, will they do a gay movie? Won't they? But they're not comfortable with a couple of lesbians kissing. So who knows? It's unlikely we're going to get the cheesy rom-com we've all been waiting for. That is all to say we're jumping to the next segment. This is Did You Ever from Irish Mython. This is a fantastic artist I just discovered out of PEI. It's a contemporary folk song. I believe Irish Mython identifies as a lesbian or lesbian. And we found her through our digital distribution system. So we are very excited. This is Did You Ever, and we'll be back just after this. Thank you.
Cause I'm in love with you. Oh, I'm in love with you.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm still Sebastian.
And are you gay enough to be promoted at the Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce?
Actually, yes. Yes, I am.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, why? How, that question, actually, now that I think about it, doesn't even compute. What?
And the reason why it doesn't compute is there was a Canadian human rights complaint about CIBC, the Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce, at its Toronto branch, because somebody claimed that he was discriminated against on account of two things. One, disability, and the second, which was a medical issue, and the second was because he was straight.
Okay.
There was a meeting that the claimee said. His name was Jagadish.
Wouldn't he be claimant?
Claimant, I suppose. Yeah. Was told by his manager at the time that every male manager in the office was gay or bisexual, and unless he joined the group, there was no hope for him. And that he should be smart and learn. Now, the Canadian Human Rights Commission investigated, and they found no evidence. And they didn't even pursue the sexual orientation-based criticism. And they found, in regards to the disability thing, that he had been appropriately accommodated. Now, Jagadish appealed it to the Canadian Federal Court of Appeals, which brings us to today, where the Federal Court of Appeal has now kicked it back to the Commission and said, you know, you can't just not investigate. You have to actually investigate.
At least try.
Yeah, put like a modicum of effort. So the investigator spoke to everybody except the manager who allegedly said these things. Now, in all fairness, if everybody else, all of these managers and so on who are supposedly hired and fired and promoted for being gay, and none of them have corroborated the story in any way, then maybe I can see why. But not interviewing the manager in question seemed like a peculiar
decision. All you need to do is find one manager who isn't gay or bi, and then that would just tank the whole argument. And if they're all gay or bi, that is peculiar.
It would be very peculiar. Yeah. So the job that Jagadish had was phoning people up and trying to sell them on various banking products. And he would have to, the more you sell, the more quickly you make the phone calls, the more quickly you wrap up the phone calls and move on to the next, the more you're getting bonuses, you know, the more you're likely to get a promotion because you're earning the bank more money.
Yeah.
Basic sales pitch principle.
Yeah.
He was apparently very good, but he strained his voice, strained his vocal cords, and the doctor said that he needed to take a break and recover his vocal cords. Mm-hmm. CIBC said you should go on short-term disability, take an actual amount of time, doing none of the talking.
Yeah.
And he didn't agree with this. He didn't like this plan. So he wanted to take frequent breaks during his work in order to rest his vocal cord.
Okay.
Which is fine.
Okay. That's his choice. Yeah.
That would impact the number of calls you make, the speed of which you're calling people again, the amount of products you're selling, if you're making all of these gaps. And because of the way it's formulated, he started to lose out on income, lose out on bonuses, lose out on various other things. He apparently also applied to 17 other jobs at CIBC. CIBC says he wasn't qualified for any of them.
Okay.
He says that he reckons it was because this particular manager said he wasn't gay or bi, and that is why he wasn't hired anywhere else in the bank.
So on the one hand, garbage is universal, and you and I have both met garbage human beings who are gay men.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no doubt that somewhere in the world, there is a garbage human being who's also a manager who only hires and promotes not only gay and bi men, but attractive gay and bi men. So if this individual were gay or bi, but just not the manager's type, that could also be a thing that I could see happening. But it's easy to disprove by just seeing if he's ever promoted one person in the past 5 years who isn't gay or bi. That's all you really need to do. It's a very easy investigation. That's a nice little slice of counter evidence, and then you're good. Then you're off to the races. And if you can't find that one person, again, something weird is going on. Maybe he was not hired because he did lack the qualifications. Maybe he was applying for things and just ignored the fact that he didn't have...
He didn't speak French or a degree in accounting.
Or something.
You know, exactly, yeah.
That can happen. Sometimes people apply to things that are above them just to see if they'll get
it. The guy had the job in sales.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He had a job in sales and he's applying for jobs in a bank.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there are some. Maybe there's some secretarial roles. I mean, there must be some positions...
Mortgage broker, you know, kind of thing. Yeah,
you actually have to be licensed to be a mortgage broker.
Well, I mean,
but there must have been some kind of, you know, I'm trying to think of what would not require, you know,
specific licensing.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe secretarial roles to a certain degree, as long as they don't require French. You know, there should have been something.
Yeah.
But were those opportunities available at that time? Who knows?
Yeah.
Are those the ones he actually applied for? Who knows? But, you know, when I'm looking at a bank and you're selling products on the phone and you're applying to bank positions and you've applied to 17 of them, unless all 17 of them were sort of the secretarial roles where it makes sense, then okay. But if you're applying for positions that require licensing or skill sets.
Yeah.
I bring this up because the Human Rights Commission did not find in that regard that he had been discriminated against. That they did not find that he had been discriminated against based on his temporary disability regarding his vocal cords and applying to other jobs.
Right.
The question is, can somebody be discriminated against based on being straight?
So, I mean, yeah, you can. But whether or not it's a... Because the way the Human Rights Commission is phrased, it's... You know, it's that whole argument about punching up and punching down, that bigotry is fine so long as you're oppressing the oppressor. I don't know about that.
I mean, that's not an official position of the Canadian Human Rights Commission.
Yeah, exactly.
I just thought I should clarify that.
Yeah, obviously. But actually, no, there were instances of that, of... when they were filming Queer as Folk in Toronto, there were all sorts of actors who were wandering around in the background who were turned away for being straight. And they were told that, like, you got to take your shirt off and make out with other dudes in the background. And they're like, $50 for 2 hours of work as an extra? I get to be on TV? I'll make out with a dude. I don't care. So it turned into a...
Oh, I was thinking of Queer Eye. And I was like, what episode is this?
No, Queer as Folk.
Queer as Folk. Queer as Folk, yes.
The Toronto
the
one.
The US version.
US, but filmed in Toronto. And we're all supposed to pretend like it was a good show, as if the UK, superior UK version did not exist.
Yeah.
But anyway. But yeah, eventually they got talked... And there was no Human Rights Commission at the time. So really, they just talked them down and said, like, you have very attractive and willing people, and if they're not willing to do the job, they're not willing to do the job. Their identity is not a part of this. So that was the answer there. So I actually do think that it is possible. I think it's incredibly unlikely. I think that there are very specific circumstances in which that could happen. But I don't think it's impossible.
I think the federal courts did the right thing here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the Human Rights Commission...
Definitely saying, like, at least show up one day and ask one person one question.
Ask the person the question.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that the man... He was on extended leave, apparently.
Okay.
You know, if the guy's in Timbuktu, I mean, is he on Mount Everest with no Wi-Fi? Like, come on, a Skype call, a phone call? Like, it's not... In the 21st century, we are quite capable of communicating with each other over any kind of distance. You know what I mean? So I cannot think of any viable reason why
They might have some in-house policy that it has to be a face-to-face interview or something. I don't know. It's probably some nonsense that when you first hear it, you're like, oh, okay. And then you think about it, you're like, no, wait a minute. That's a dumb rule. They're following a dumb rule. There's a lot of that.
The investigation into whether or not he was discriminated based on sexuality on accounts of being straight seems, at least in the reporting, to have been relatively dismissed by the commission.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he took issue with.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's true or false, you know, I am not particularly inclined to believe. I think that maybe he just... I think it has more to do with...
Well, you and I both know a garbage human being who was in a managerial position who would have done this kind of thing.
Yes.
And quite famously did mostly just hire young, attractive men who were his type. So we've witnessed this. We know that this kind of thing could happen. But whether or not it happened in this case, I don't know. Because the thing is that as a hiring manager, your bonus is based on the performance of the people underneath you. So hiring somebody up into your pool, I guess... You're going to want someone who's going to make sure that they do well so that you do well so that you can also move up the chain.
I mean, but this is the other thing. Managing is you're in charge of people.
Yeah.
You know, he may have been great at selling things on the phone, but was he difficult to work with?
Around
you know,
office,
was he not a great colleague? You know, but these are things that by not investigating whether or not he's discriminated because he was straight... leaves open so many questions.
Yeah.
You know, that's all we've done in the last 10 minutes. It's like, oh, I don't know, maybe. I think you can be discriminated against for being straight, just like you can be discriminated against for being gay.
Again, though, the likelihood is there's a very big gap between the two in terms of likelihood, but it's not impossible.
Absolutely.
We do acknowledge
and
this.
I think the Canadian Human Rights Commission should and now will investigate it again. And I think the Federal Court of Appeals did the right thing.
Good on them, yeah.
Absolutely.
Actually, I read something about that lately, that the judiciary kind of feels left out. They used to be the people who, like, the job of the Supreme Court in Canada was to go around and tell all the other branches of government to basically do their dang job.
They feel left out?
They do.
Like, they didn't get the Secret Santa or something?
No. In the sense
nobody invited them to their garden party?
Like, when people are talking about issues in Canada, they're not like electoral reform. Everybody got so mad at the Liberals because they said, oh, guess what, guys? Turns out it's difficult, so never mind. Whereas people, instead of complaining to the Liberals, why would you complain to them? They already indicated that they don't care. Go to the Supreme Court and say, is it actually impossible? And then they can... do the constitutional law, double check, and be like, actually, for the following reasons, it'll be difficult, but it's not impossible. Like, they're there as a resource. They're there so that if, you know, the Senate or the ministries or the sitting government lets you down, you ask them, what's possible?
That's one of the biggest, that's one of the fundamental relationships between Parliament and the courts.
Yeah.
The courts would often decide on whether or not a law is compliant with the Charter, the Constitution, and so on and so forth. But what the Parliament has the authority and the power to do is ask the courts in advance.
Yeah.
You know, sort of a, you know, we're thinking of doing this.
Yeah.
You know, if we did this, are you going to strike it down in 2 years? In which case, we won't bother writing the blaster thing to begin with. And that sort of checking first was a common process, more common now.
The Supreme Court is not just a bunch of judges judging on cases. A huge chunk of it is people doing research on what's possible, or at least apparently they don't do it half as much as they used to. May have been Harper and the centralization of the PMO and...
Well, I don't think... I think what it is also is that the Supreme Court hasn't had as many particularly famous cases. Things
Fair
that
enough,
kind of draw the media attention. I do think they are busy at work. They are...
It's probably something mundane like the cod fishery or something like that.
They are doing important work. Now, let's talk about something a little bit more fun.
Twister.
No.
The movie, not the
Although
not
it
the
also
game.
Does include lots of men grappling with each other.
But Twister was a really good movie. If it's 4 p.m. and you're walking through a living room and somebody's watching Twister, everybody sits on the couch and goes, oh, Twister's on. Like, it's not a great movie, but it's a movie that you're always happy to watch. But yeah, we're talking about grappling men. Why are we talking about grappling men?
Wrestling.
Oh, okay, wrestling.
There
okay.
was a story from the WWE.
Yeah.
Wrestling is a... You like wrestling.
Yes.
There, yeah, that's where I'm...
I watched some wrestling last night, in fact.
You watched the people wrestling.
I watched Zack Sabre Jr.
I prefer watching Olympic men's diving and Olympic men's swimming.
Mm-hmm.
They're currently my top two.
You should look up videos of the Belarus gymnastics team. Specifically Belarus.
Okay.
Yeah.
So wrestling.
Yeah.
Is where I'm going. Are you familiar with a wrestler?
Yes.
Called, let me get his name, Sami Zayn?
Sami Zayn, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a ginger.
Okay.
I think he's Croatian. He's definitely from the Canadian prairies. I know that.
Okay, so he's Canadian.
Yeah, that would be, it's not Winnipeg, what is it? Edmonton, I think, is a massive wrestling city.
Wow.
The
more you know.
Yeah.
So Sami Zayn was in the news because he went toe-to-toe, or he had a bit of a shouting match, with a rather homophobic person at a Daytona live event, or a live event in Daytona.
Right, okay.
During this event, this particular man shouted and called him a Canadian F-bomb. So it is the very homophobic slur, mm-hmm. Which I'm not going to repeat on radio.
He called him a furry.
No, he did not call him a furry. He called him a word which is also a bundle of sticks
and a or sausage. A
Welsh meatball.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's he called him that, and the guy and Sami Zayn was not impressed.
Right.
Got up in his face, called him an idiot.
Yeah.
And then told security to get him out of his effing face.
Right. Yeah.
And the guy was promptly removed.
Okay.
So, thoughts?
It's actually, it's a really weird reputation that wrestling has because on the one hand, it's fundamentally a form of theater. It's not athletics. It is a show about athletics. You're watching a soap opera on the topic of people who are wrestlers, and it just happens to be done in front of a live audience. And I know this is going to sound really weird to people who are skeptics about wrestling, but wrestling actually has a lot in common with Kabuki theater and Beijing opera. It's basically the performance of battle where the story has progressed through combat. So you're mostly getting actors. You're getting people like Jackie Chan. So Sami Zayn, actually no, if anyone, be Joey Ryan is the Jackie Chan of wrestling, where he's a comedy, physical acting kind of a wrestler. But it's all about storytelling. So, but because it's also about simulated combat, you kind of get like the jock meatheads,
mm-hmm.
and you get the theater guys.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another famous Canadian wrestler, Kevin Owens, where the moment you see him, you're like, he was in theater when he was in high school. Surely. He's from Montreal. He's got that like soft-spoken French Canadian. Have you ever met DJ Benoit?
No.
Kevin Owens looks almost exactly like DJ Ben. It's hilarious. I'll show you pictures later. Anyway, so on the one hand, you do have that sort of jock meathead reputation, but on the other hand, you've got the drama kid reputation. And the drama kids, they're all about like backstage, just trying to make everybody feel included and make people feel safe. And you get really well-known stories like Hulk Hogan, who's probably one of the most well-known wrestlers of all time.
Or The Rock.
Or, well, yeah, I'd say okay, so for this story, the issue with Hulk Hogan was that he helped several other wrestlers kick various addictions. Mm. When one of his friend's wives complained about abuse, he was like, just stay with me for a week and I'll run interference and we'll see if we can set you up with your own place and maybe get couples counseling if you want to resolve it. If you don't want to resolve it, I'll support you there. So like you get a lot of sweethearts in wrestling. They have this reputation, but like that's the character they're projecting. Mm. Behind the scenes, half of them are exactly the kind of guy that you met when you were in high school theater. So this kind of really doesn't surprise me. And I've seen interviews with Sami Zayn, and he seems like the kind of guy who was in high school theater for sure.
Well, it sounds to me, I mean, there were lots of kids watching.
Mm-hmm.
It was a, you know, a family-friendly event. There were lots of kids around the guy.
Yeah.
And essentially he was saying, you know, it's not hard to not be racist or sexist or homophobic at a wrestling show.
Just keep it to yourself.
Yeah. You can hurl abuse.
Yeah.
Wait a bit, Canadian there.
Yeah.
Hurl abuse and, you know, get off the stage and, you know, you shout at the participants.
That's
but you
part
can shout
it,
at them without using slurs.
Well, in the current context, absolutely. So one of the things you have to bear in mind is that in wrestling, you've got good guys and bad guys, and the good guys are known as faces and the bad guys are known as heels. But if you like someone who's a heel, you like their performance, you like their wrestling, you cheer for the bad guys by booing them.
Mm.
So sometimes you'll see a match and people are booing like mad, but it's because they like the bad guy. So it's kind of this weird, I mean, it's a theater where the audience is a part of the performance. It's this weird kind of interactive thing. But in the sort of 80s and 90s, there were various characters like the Iron Sheik, who was an actual Iraqi who made it very big in American wrestling. And racial slurs was a part of his act. People yelling racial slurs at him, not to excuse the late 80s, but I mean, he also helped establish, like, don't you call me a... And then he would say various things, which is his way of saying, if you support me, call me that. Mm-hmm. So it was a real different kind of
thing. But it was like a reclaiming in a sense. Yeah.
And it was subversive.
Yeah.
It was meant to be racy. He was the bad guy. He was going to use the words you're not supposed to use.
But now.
Now in the current context.
It's, you know, I think of, you know, WWE as those meatheads. But I think it's quite interesting to hear.
If you look at pictures of the audience, it's all skinny boys who used to be in drama. If you look at the audience, they don't look like jocks. They look like drama kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting that if you really want to understand wrestling, ignore the people on the stage. Look at the audience. It's really fascinating.
We'll be back next with a story about Grindr. Actually, this is Cycle by Future Womb, another great artist.
Future Womb?
Which are folk, contemporary folk that we found on the Earshot Digital Distribution System. And we'll be back just after this.
Dear emotional being, I'm sorry that you thought that was the way it felt to have somebody care. I'm sorry that you gave so much of yourself away to this creature, to this creature. Its way inside your thighs until the guilt makes it too tired to try. Apparently it gets better so long as a cycle doesn't just keep on spinning. I don't wanna hurt somebody like it hurt me. I've been bad, now I'm scared of getting hungry. Get hungry. apparently it gets better so long as the cycle doesn't just keep on spinning.
Hello and welcome back to Canqueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Nick Smith.
And I'm Sebastian. Did you have to think about that? Did you forget?
Oh, I always forget who I am, why I'm here, what day it is.
I know that
feeling. Yeah, that's so true. All right, well, let's get in it. Let's talk about Grindr. So Grindr has been, I mean, it really is used as a tool to get to know people, sometimes in a biblical sense. You know, and it's a great way of networking and making new friends.
It depends on where you are in the world.
Well, that's exactly it. In some parts of the world, it is very dangerous, which is why Grindr has released a survival guide, which outlines various steps and measures that could be taken to better protect yourself.
They could have phrased that differently. Instead of like survival, they could have called it security or... security is probably better. Because survival, I don't know about that.
It's a holistic survival guide.
Okay.
So it is sort of all of the various different ways that you can better take care of yourself.
Does it prevent existential terror?
just a sense of impending death?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't account for that.
Okay, well then it's not quite as thorough as
it's not as holistic as one would hope. Yeah, it doesn't give you advice on how to stop the inevitability of your own demise.
Yeah.
So other than that...
How to keep the nightmares at bay.
Yeah, exactly.
No protection against that.
Nope. But what they are doing is introducing a number of different measures, only in certain areas. And I think, honestly, these should be rolled out globally.
That's weird.
And we'll talk about this one. And then there's a second story that really does... emphasize why this should be an everywhere thing. So what they're going to be doing is you can send photos, but they expire. So much like how Snapchat photos disappear after a certain amount of time, what happens here, you send a photo and it will delete from all of the Grindr databases within X amount of time.
Okay.
So that way somebody can't, let's say we're in Chechnya. And you get a hold of the Chechen authorities who were accused of a purge, get a hold of a gay man's Grindr, and they're looking through, all of the photos would have disappeared from the threads.
Okay.
So then you can't visually ID other people.
Okay.
There is a way of unsending messages. So if you find out that somebody you were chatting to is actually an undercover cop, you can unsend those messages. They would disappear from both ends of the conversation.
See, I'm thinking, like, in my brain, how would I do that if I were to code it? And it's actually exactly what Discord does, which is that all the information is kept on a server. And when you open it up, you're actually accessing the server.
Yeah.
So the data is not on your phone. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is there temporarily. And there are ways of saving it. Like, these measures can be circumvented. But if you don't know that you need to, then it'll be too late.
They're also looking at making it so that screenshots can't be taken of like a full screenshot blocking. So screenshotting conversations, screenshotting profiles, screenshotting photos. And it really is aimed at places where gay men are being targeted by autocratic states or being targeted by terrorist groups or for extortion and so on and so forth.
Or vigilante groups.
Exactly. Yeah.
Vigilante groups are actually, when you read about all the tragic deaths in the world, mostly it's vigilante groups that the government's just not bothering with.
So the Grindr says here that as Grindr has grown to become a vital part of the gay, bi, trans, and queer community, we feel a responsibility to provide important information and evolving tools to facilitate our users' safe dating experience. That was Scott Chen, the president of Grindr. Our work in improving the well-being for the LGBTQ community around the globe is far from finished. But we are proud of these additional features to help provide a safer platform for our users.
Are there a lot of lesbians on Grindr?
There are other apps available. So Grindr, if you remember way back when...
It's like Grindr Inc. now.
Yeah, way back when they were toying with launching a straight version of Grindr back in 2012, 2013. I think it may have been Bumble. I think that was the straight version.
Well, I mean, Bumble is more of a variation on Tinder than it is on Grindr.
Well, I think that maybe it's not Bumble, but they did try and launch a straight version.
Okay.
And there are many out there which are specifically for lesbians. But what Grindr did a couple of years back, or even at the start of this year, was they introduced a whole thwack of gender and sex identities in terms of how you can self-identify.
You know, that was a controversial move as well.
It was, yeah. And it was like, we're losing this gay space. And everyone was really panicked it would get flooded with straight women, which did not happen.
Well, it didn't not, well, it didn't flood, but there
no,
are,
they were just the odd one or yeah. two, which raises the question, why are you here? This is still 99.9%
yeah.
of gay men.
So yeah. I do remember when this happened, my response was basically like, there's a million other apps. Hornet isn't doing this. Scruff isn't doing this. Mm-hmm. Growler isn't doing this. Like, if it's just the one, it's no big deal.
Yeah, exactly. Now, in...
And it's good to have one that does it, and if it's more than one, like, everybody deserves to have a space, you know?
So in Birmingham, there were some vicious attacks.
Birmingham, England or
yeah,
Birmingham?
Birmingham, UK.
Okay.
There were some vicious attacks on gay men carried out by Mohammed Khan, 18, Mohammed Umar, 18, Kasim Ahmad, 18, and I think that was, there was those three.
Should you be reading out names of
yes,
minors?
Because, no, well, they're 18. They were convicted.
Oh, okay.
As adults.
Oh, okay.
And sentenced to 13 and 11 years, respectively.
Okay.
For these vicious attacks.
Okay.
So that is Mohammed Khan, Mohammed Ammar, and Hay Mills was the fourth, and then Kasim Ahmad. So what these guys did is they lured gay men from Birmingham into a common green space.
Okay.
And they beat them up, they tied them up, they urinated on them, they dragged them through dog and cat feces, they tore up their shirts. One of them was abused and tortured for over 2 hours. And the four victims that came forward spoke to it, and the judge was understandably repulsed by the degree and the severity of this kind of repeated torture over multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Birmingham.
Yeah.
This is one of the biggest cities in the UK.
Yeah.
And it was only, you know, in the last year or so that this happened.
Okay.
So this isn't just countries where it's illegal to be gay. We're not talking, you know, Syria.
Yeah.
You know, only Syria where men are thrown from roofs. But we're talking about the UK here.
Well, the reason why I asked you to double check if it was Birmingham, England, is because there's also a Birmingham in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And Birmingham, Alabama probably also has its own stories.
Well, I think, you know,
probably a Birmingham, Ontario as well. There's a Birmingham everywhere.
There is a lot of Birminghams. But I think the important thing I wanted to emphasize here is using apps to meet people and have conversations is very important. They're a fantastic tool. But be safe. Be secure.
Yeah.
Meet people in public spaces, not, you know, isolated parks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have a plan. Tell a good friend of yours, I'm meeting somebody. If you don't hear from me by, you know, 9 p.m., you know, give me a ring or, you know, find out. They were all robbed. They were all, you know, and they've just, it was disgusting. And it wasn't just Birmingham. We're seeing dozens of these cases across, you know, droves of countries. And it's, you know, this is not a surprise to you. It's not a surprise to me. But it is.
But we cover the news. Because I speak to people all the time.
Yeah.
They don't know about honeypots. They don't know about all the serial crimes that happen. They don't know that it's very easy to use these tools to hurt people.
Well, Bruce MacArthur, the serial killer in Toronto, used hookup apps to find his victims. Now, be careful.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't walk home alone at night, you know, drunk from a bar. Don't put yourself in dangerous positions with these apps.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Grindr needs to roll out these features more broadly.
Yeah.
You know, disappearing images, unsending chats are a way for avoiding extortion.
Yeah.
You know, avoiding sextortion, which is one of the things that typically happens.
And they can even, you know, get playful with it so that if you do send somebody a picture, you can unlock it so that it doesn't delete itself.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you want, if that's what you're into, if you live in a place where you do feel safe. Because there are going to be people who want to do that. I mean, it can be a part of the platform to actually integrate features about security, but also about sort of options about what you want to do with that.
Well, we have run out of time.
Have we now?
We have indeed. We're playing out with Pistol and Rye by Vic Horvath, another fantastic artist that we found on our digital distribution. Another folk, contemporary folk. I'm in a contemporary folk vibe. It is what it is.
I'm into that.
I've been Luke Smith.
And I have been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
I don't care. You feed the chickens while I'll pass the time. I'll pass the time, I don't care. Well, I don't mind you coming around. Woo! As long as you don't bring me down. Where the white's fair, where the white's fair.